All right, let's see if he's online.
What up?
Hello.
Hello.
What's going on?
Same shit, different day.
Yeah.
Have you batten down the hatches?
Dance, monkey, dance.
Welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
Battening down the hatches for a non-existent hurricane. Well, I shouldn't say it's non-existent.
Storms are coming.
There's a hurricane. It's just not coming to Charleston, is my feeling. Because, you know, I'm a meteorologist. I don't know if you know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know.
As much as anybody that, you know, looks at all the maps and shit online as a meteorologist. But whatever.
Okay.
Whatever. But yes, up until today, there Hurricane Florence was predicted to hit somewhere on the Carolina coastline between north and south somewhere. And up until today, we were in the cone of uncertainty until 5 o'clock. Which was 2 hours after they said that everybody had to leave. So, I don't think I'm leaving, but, you know. I'll wave if
my house goes down. So you don't think everybody's going to rush back right now?
No.
No?
No, right. Because everybody's so scared and worried about, like, a repeat of Hurricane Hugo and
right.
All this other shit that's gone on here that... There's a lot of people that are like, we're leaving. That's it. We're just getting out of here. And it's like, all right. I'll let you know when it's safe to come back. Now, granted, if it changes in 2 days, I may be seeing you this weekend. I don't know. But
come on down.
Well, anything's better than this last week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Woke up on Sunday morning, yesterday morning. To the sound of the air conditioner running for downstairs, which normally it doesn't do because, and especially now that we're in September, it's usually cooler in the mornings. And I was like, that's really weird. So I got on my phone and I looked at my thermostat on my phone and it was 82 degrees downstairs. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? So I walked down there and there's no air being pushed out of any of the vents. And I was like, fuck. Great. So now I have a broken AC unit. So I start looking around online. And one of the things that they tell you is to try to find the blower motor and see if there's any fuses that are tripped or whatever. So not knowing where those are, I was like, maybe because the air return for downstairs is under the house, I'll go under the house and... I'll go look for the air handler. So on my way down there, I said, we have a dehumidifier in the crawl space. I said, well, I got to change the filter in that anyway. I'll take that down there. And I crawl over to the dehumidifier and I look down and it's leaking water.
Okay.
And I'm like, motherfucker. So it's a Sunday. I'm like, well, I'm not going to call anybody today. Because that'll cost me a fucking arm and a leg. We can survive one day without air conditioning downstairs. And whatever, I'll call a plumber thinking that maybe the drainage tube is clogged from the the dehumidifier to the wall.
Right.
So I get both of these guys to come out first thing this morning on Monday. And the plumber goes underneath and says... Yeah, that thing is shot. Like, it's not leaking out of the drainage pipe. The drainage pipe is clear. It's leaking out of the water block or whatever it's called on the back. So there's probably a pinhole leak in it. So to try to even find that, it's not worth the amount of money that it would cost you as to replace it. So I'm like, well, how much does it cost to replace? $2,100. Okay, we're not doing that today. Thanks very much. So then the air conditioner guy comes in and he goes, yeah, I found what's wrong with your air conditioner. I said, okay, great. What is it? Your blower motor is bad. Okay. He goes, now it might be under warranty because it's only like 7 years old. I said, fabulous. Let's find out. He calls the manufacturer and they said, well, the people who installed it never registered it, so it's no longer under warranty.
Okay.
I was like, motherfuckers. You can't do me the solid of when you fucking put something in to just register it, right? So.
Right.
So I'm like, okay. And he's like, what do you want to do? I said, well, I need the house to be cool. So what are my options? And he basically said, I can replace it for you. I have one in the truck. And I said, wonderful. How much is that? And he goes out and he looks and he comes back and he goes, with insulation, it's $600. Fuck me.
Okay.
So he's like, what do you want to do? I said, fucking install it. I don't care. So at this point, whatever. So he comes back and he goes, all right, everything's taken care of. You're good. But like everything's working great. Blah blah blah. And I said, okay, here's my credit card. And he goes, just so you know, there's a 3% convenience fee for using your credit card. I'm like, motherfucker.
What?
So yeah, so I had to pay an extra fucking $25 on top of it to get my fucking air conditioner fixed.
Well, still better than $2,100.
Well, I'm gonna have to do something with that. But apparently I can get the dehumidifier online for like $1,000. And the guy was look, you're a smart guy. You can install this on your own. He goes, you don't need me to come back to do this and waste a bunch of money that you don't have to spend. And he literally talked me through it. He's like, this is what you do. This is what you do with the pipe. This is what you do with the electricity. Just bring it down there, do this, and you'll be fine. And I was like, awesome. So still going to be $1,000, but oh, yay, homeownership.
Yes. You didn't have one of those like home warranties?
We used to. But the problem with the home warranty is if I had called today I would have to call that number to say, hey, there's something wrong with my air conditioner. They would then say, okay, we'll get in touch with our heating and cooling company and they will call you to set up an appointment, which is usually a day later.
Okay.
Then they come out and they look at the problem. They tell you what it is and then they have to call the warranty company who will then either okay or deny the claim depending on what's wrong with it, which usually takes another day.
And okay.
Then they have to get the part or do whatever and then schedule a time to come back out to put it in. So the last time I did this, it took 3 weeks to repair what needed to be repaired.
Oh, well, that sucks.
So while it saved me $500 that time, like the thing in the attic was fucked up for 3 weeks.
Right.
So, you know, with a hurricane coming and everybody leaving town, how much would that have been set back even farther?
Sure.
So I was just like, fuck it. I don't care. But those things suck because if it's a part that, wasn't originally installed in the house. So like I couldn't do it for the dehumidifier anyway, because that's like aftermarket hardware. Almost.
Okay.
I can't do it for that. I couldn't like if for some reason they thought that it was unusual wear and tear on the blower motor, they wouldn't have covered it. And then you're okay. at the mercy of finding somebody else to come out and do it for however much money anyway.
Sure.
So, I mean, those things are just fucking scams. So, whatever.
Hmm. Well, at least your house is cool.
Yeah, well, now it is.
Yes.
So how are you?
Well, I'm good. I was a little worried after the New York Times printed my op-ed piece last week. It was getting a little hairy there for a while, but, you know, now we're good.
So let me ask you about that.
Uh-huh.
Not that I think that you are the mole within the White House, but...
Lodestar.
Is that what they're calling this person?
No, that's a word that Pence likes to use, and it was used in that letter.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So a lot of people are not applauding the fact that there's somebody in the White House anonymously doing things.
Well, the people who are most vocal are these Republican assholes.
Yeah.
So it's not like there's a bunch of sane people who are talking about this because they don't want the person to be outed.
Well, from what I've seen, a lot of the people feel like to write an op-ed piece like that and not come forward as to who you are is more cowardly than just stepping forward and saying who you are and what you're doing.
Is it really?
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, which is why I wanted to find out your take on it, because I understand part of that, but I don't understand why it's a cowardly thing if that person doesn't come forward.
Well, I think that sometimes being anonymous is the only way to do it. I mean, obviously, everybody knows about this stuff going on and nothing's being done. So now maybe if they know that it's being acknowledged as somebody in the White House is speaking out against it.
Right.
You know, maybe people will start to question who they're going to vote for in the next election coming up next month.
True. I mean,
I don't see why they need to be identified unless it's somebody really juicy. You know? And then as soon as they're identified, well, then they lose their power.
Well, yeah. I mean, but it was a really weird backlash online of like, fuck this person if they're not going to come out and tell us who they are. Like, don't be a coward. Just tell like everybody who you are and what you're doing. And really expose what's going on. Because I guess they feel like being anonymous is not the gravity of everything that's going on. That just, like, they're saying that they're doing these things to sidetrack Trump. But I guess the feeling online is you could expose even more if everybody knew who you were.
I don't see that.
No? Okay.
I don't see that at all. I think that, you know, once Melania comes forward and says she wrote it, well, Michelle Obama would have had to have written it for her, but... yeah.
So, yeah, I mean... I'm sorry, there's a whole bunch of texts going on with shit at work, so
that's
I
exciting.
Apologize, but
job security.
For some reason I got a hold of some information about the lane reversals and nobody else saw it, I guess, so everybody's asking me questions. It's like I didn't write the piece, I just reported it.
Who's your source, Chris? Name them.
Channel 4.
Okay.
All right. Sorry. So yeah, that was, it was a very weird thing, like that whole thing. Like I'm just happy that the information's out there. I don't really care.
I mean, all it does is expose the idiocy of what's going on, and then to have Trump tweet that this is treason. It's like, well, you know, Trump, you better figure out the definition of treason, because it's punishable by death. And I would put your ass on pay-per-view. I think it could be like that old horror story, The Lottery.
Yeah.
Where, like, everybody brings their favorite rock.
Right.
And just throws them at him.
I mean, it's so, like, his viewpoint is so strange when it comes to this shit.
Mm-hmm.
That this is treason, and like what he's doing is not treasonous. And it's like, just because you're the president, it's like that whole thing where he's like, well, I can pardon myself. No, you can't.
No, you can't.
I just, God, it's so, it's just so fucking weird now.
Yes. Just gets worse.
I mean, it literally is like an episode of Black Mirror. It's like worst case scenario if like the bumbling idiot was put in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guess what? We're there.
Yes. But what would it mean if it really was Pence?
If he was the one that wrote it?
If he was the one who wrote it.
I mean, look.
That's kind of messed up. Look, right?
Here's my theory, is that somebody online that I no, on Facebook keeps saying, when are we going to impeach Trump? When are we going to impeach Trump? And a lot of people have tried to say impeachment doesn't get you out of office. Like they tried to impeach Clinton.
Well, they did impeach Clinton.
Well, they impeached Clinton and he stayed in office.
Yes.
So just if we impeach Trump, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be removed. Right?
Sure.
Okay. So
I think there's a big difference. Well, I think there's a big difference between Trump and Clinton.
Well, I do too, but what I tried to tell my friend was like, I personally feel like the best thing for this country right now is to leave him in office. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I think everybody does everything they can to flip as many of the Congress and Senate seats blue as they could.
Sure.
Take away his power there, but leave him in office, because if you remove him, Pence takes his place. And Pence, right, I feel, is more dangerous than Trump is.
Yes, definitely. I would agree with that.
And I think if they're going to move him out and not be voted out in 2020, that puts Pence in a position to where he might be able to actually win an election for some reason. And then we're really fucked.
Sure.
And that's, I tried to explain, I'm like, you don't want Pence in there. The very worst thing we can do is to just put him there without any kind of election. Because then you're going to see shit really
change. We'll
become
a religious state.
Which we're not.
We're not?
No. We are not a Christian nation. I'm sorry.
We're not?
No.
Says who?
Says the Constitution.
Not says the voting public.
Says the Constitution. Says all kinds of people.
The Constitution doesn't mean shit. Trust me. Nobody cares about the Constitution unless you're a gun owner.
Do you watch John Oliver at all?
I do not.
Okay, so John Oliver did a thing last night about criminals who get out of jail that can't vote.
Okay.
And a lot of people feel that is very appropriate. And some people feel like, depending on the severity of your crime.
Right.
Some people that do time in prison should be able to get their voting rights back. You know, if you're not a murderer or whatever. And the spotlight that he had on last night was the fact that in your great state of Florida, it's the only state that doesn't allow any kind of conviction to at some point get voting rights back. In most of the other states, after a certain amount of time, you've been out, you've gone through your parole, you then get your voting rights back.
Right.
And they showed a bunch of clips of, what's your governor's name? Scott?
Yes. Voldemort.
basically telling these people, you've already been judged by a judge. We can do whatever we want. Like, we're going to take your rights away and we don't really care.
Sure.
And one of the guys who sits up there, and John Oliver was like, ask the same question to everybody. And they showed a bunch of clips from, I guess, the Florida version of C-SPAN, where this guy kept saying, well, what church do you go to? Do you go to church? What church do you go to? Hello.
Hello.
And all this, like, he kept just asking these people, like, about their religion and church. And John Oliver was like, what does that fucking matter? Like, whether they go to church or not, that is not why they are there. That's not what they should be judged on as their rehabilitation or, like being able to vote. What does it matter if you go to church or not? But that's the way it's viewed in Florida.
Well, it's viewed like that in a lot of states in the South.
But it shouldn't be. That's the whole separation of church and state.
Do you watch the news lately?
Well, I know.
Do you see what's going on?
No, what's going on?
Weird shit.
I heard it's going to get real windy here. I don't know why.
It's supposed to. Yeah, yeah. It's a typhoon, an earthquake or something.
Sweet.
Yeah. Good surfing weather. You should go down to the beach.
I feel like it shouldn't be... We shouldn't have to deal with that kind of shit in this day and age. And I feel like if Pence gets into office, you're going to see a lot more of that shit happen.
Certainly. It's already happening behind our backs. We just don't know it.
Well.
So once it becomes public that, President Pence takes over.
Hmm.
It's scary. It's very scary. I listen to a lot of NPR.
Yeah.
And I have to keep turning it off because I just get sick to my stomach with all this bullshit that's going on. Jeez. It's horrible. This is a shitty world we live in. Have you heard what's going on in Sweden?
No.
Sweden has this far liberal right party that wants to ban all foreigners to Sweden, and that includes people coming and seeking asylum. They're saying that by the time you get to Sweden, you would have actually passed through 7 or 8 different countries that would have given you safe shelter. Why are you coming all the way up to Sweden?
Maybe they have chocolate.
No.
Okay.
And I was listening to BBC America talking about, they had a couple of people discussing it. And it was like really surprising that, because this far right party, they're called the Social Democrats, actually have their basis with the Nazis.
Oh, nice.
Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Sound familiar? And in just the last 8 years, they've tripled their backing from the Swedish population. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Let's bring back coal. Let's build a wall. So it's scary that the whole world is actually going to shit. There is no hope, Chris. There is no hope whatsoever.
There's got to be somewhere we can go.
I don't know. Don't know. I think to tie this all into the real reason we're here, which is to talk about nerdy things.
Right.
Is that The Walking Dead actually takes place after Trump fires the missiles.
Okay.
And eventually, I think they're going to make it to D.C. and they're going to find him and Melania holed up in the gold-plated bathroom.
There's no way he would survive years in a zombie apocalypse.
No.
This is a dude that stared directly at the...
But he's going to pay all these people to do it for him.
No. This is
no?
He stared directly into the solar eclipse.
Well, yeah.
When he was told not to. There's no way that they'd be like, stay down, and he would get right up and go out into the fucking middle of the zombie horde.
Well, I'd be the guy standing next to him going, hey, I bet you could make it through there. I bet you could run through.
Did you...
You clear a path for me.
Did you watch Last Man on Earth?
I did, but I gave up on it this last season.
So there was an episode where they did a flashback of the start of the plague or whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
And it literally was, it was after the election, and it literally was like, President Donald Trump is dead from whatever the virus is. And then, like, the next thing in the montage was like, President Pence is dead from the plague. President Ryan is dead from the plague. And then, like, it went down the entire list, and like, it was like, government shuts down and blah, blah, blah. So like, in certain universes, he doesn't make it even past like the first round of shit.
Nice.
So I guarantee you, if he's on the golf course and zombies start like barreling down on him, he's not getting out of there.
Oh, we can only hope. Can only hope. Anyway, so let's talk about something else.
Okay. Do you want to say goodbye to another piece of our childhood?
Why? Who died now? Oh, him.
The bandit, man.
The bandit's dead.
Eastbound and Down.
All those great movies. Rent-A-Cop, Lucky Lady, At Long Last Love, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Yeah, but he also did a bunch of really, really good stuff, too.
He did Deliverance, which is a classic.
Did Deliverance, Smokey and the Bandit, Cannonball Run.
Cannonball Run 2, yeah. Cannonball Run C. Yes. All the cannonballs, all the runs.
He did Boogie Nights and was really good in that. I mean, he's done He's done a bunch of stuff.
He did Striptease.
He did do Striptease.
He was hilarious at Striptease, yes.
Hmm.
Yes.
Oh, Bert.
Bert's gone.
Married to the beautiful Lonnie Anderson for a time.
For a time.
Yeah. I didn't see anything from her when he died. I saw a bunch of shit from Sally Fields, though.
Well, yeah. He and Lonnie did not end up on good terms.
No. He died in your great state of Florida.
He did. Well, he used to live in Florida.
Hmm.
Way down in Jupiter.
Jupiter.
Jupiter, where he and his buddy Charles Nelson Reilly used to hang out. He used to have a theater down there, the Burt Reynolds Theater in Jupiter, Florida.
Really?
Yes. Way back when.
No. Shush. Okay, sorry.
So, yeah.
Do you know that he turned down not only Han Solo in Star Wars, but Batman in the 60s TV show, and also James Bond?
Imagine the career he could have had.
I know.
He wouldn't have spent his last days at cons charging $100 for somebody to take a picture next to his lifeless corpse. I mean, him and Stanley sitting there side by side in their wheelchairs, drooling.
I mean, it would be interesting though, like, if he had been Han Solo for whatever thing, like, the whole Star Wars community would be really upset right now.
They would.
But do you think Star Wars would have been as successful if Burt Reynolds had been Han Solo?
I think you run into the trap of putting name talent in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think the movie succeeded on the fact that it was a bunch of relative unknowns.
Except for Alec Guinness.
Well, and Peter Cushing, and Peter Cushing. You know, those Brits who were desperate for one last movie. But I don't think if there was a name talent, because Cindy Williams auditioned for Princess Leia. Now, right. Can you imagine Shirley Feeney as Princess Leia?
Well, and there's all like Kurt Russell was up for Han Solo, and so was Christopher Walken,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know. I mean, Kurt Russell's been a star since he was a kid, but like,
right.
Like, what would that have looked like? Or what would Christopher Walken in that role have looked like? Like, Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know if it would have been as successful, you know, as if it had just been all the unknowns.
Yeah, I don't think if there was a celebrity in there that it would have had this, because I think it would have drawn focus. It succeeded so well based on the story,
right,
that if you threw somebody you knew into that mix, it would have thrown it off.
Right, yeah.
You know, suddenly you'd be talking about, you know, how Burt Reynolds was as Han Solo, and, you know,
right,
comparing it to his last role.
As to where, like,
probably Smoking the Bandit 2.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, Smoking the Bandit 2 was, no, Smoking the Bandit was 77.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, we'll never know.
Right. I guess I just don't think about, like, Smokey and the Bandit seems like it's not in the same time period as Star Wars for some reason to me.
Okay.
And I don't know why, but like late 70s movies, like there's in my mind, there's always that weird thing of like, 77 is the seminal moment of like my movie life, of like coming into my love of movies. But
sure.
When you look back, because I didn't see Smokey and the Bandit until way later, so it just doesn't seem like that's at the same time. I don't know. I'm weird like that. Like, Deliverance doesn't seem like it, like 1972 either, for some reason. But it was.
Saturday Night Fever, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Annie Hall, Slapshot, The Deep, The Hills Have Eyes, The Rescuers and Pete's Dragon, The Goodbye mm-hmm. Girl, Exorcist 2, Wizards, remember that animated film? Kentucky Fried Movie, Looking for Mr. Goodbar, Capricorn 1.
Is that all 1977?
High Anxiety, New York, New York, yep. Bad News Bears and Breaking Training, Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger. Wow, there were like 3,000 movies that came out in 77.
Maybe.
Oh, Airport 77 came out in 77.
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the fact that Star Wars doesn't look like anything from that time period.
Well, I think that's part of its success.
Yeah.
Oh God came out in 77.
Oh God, jeez. And then Oh God Book 2?
Yes.
That shit was always on TV when I was a kid. Man, George Burns.
Kids, Kirby Goes to Monte Carlo.
Kids today don't understand the whole George Burns thing.
Well, no, because like Johnny Depp is an old man to them.
John Denver, Jesus.
Celebrity. Star. All gone. Gone.
Well, yeah, but he died in a plane crash.
Yes. An experimental plane crash.
He was gone before.
Wasn't like
time.
A, you know, he was. Thank God he was a country boy.
Do you think, because recently there's been a resurgence of his popularity in soundtracks.
Burt Reynolds?
No. John Denver.
Really?
Yeah. Within...
How so?
So in just 2017, his tracks appeared in Kevin Probably Saves the World, Kingsman the Golden Circle, Logan Lucky, Okja, which was a Netflix movie, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Alien Covenant, Mystery Science Theater 3000, The Return, and The Bates Motel.
Okay.
And so, and they're fairly big hits. Back Home Again, Leaving on a Jet Plane. Take Me Home, Country Road showed up like four times that year. Annie Song is twice. Three times. Like, there's this weird resurgence of his music in like television and movies. And I don't really know why.
Huh. Just one of those odd things.
I guess so.
Hmm. Okay.
So yes, Burt Reynolds will be missed.
Yes.
Not that he did a whole lot. But recently
he made over 100 movies.
He was supposed to do something in Quentin Tarantino's film, but he never got a chance to shoot it.
Oh
yeah,
they could do an old little Weekend at Bernie's action. Here, just put your hand up his ass.
Oh jeez.
Make him talk. Okay. Make his head go to the left. Look up. Come on. You're like a Muppet.
I mean, I think if you squint, you could probably insert that guy from Weekend at Bernie's.
Terry Kaiser?
Yeah, into that role as Burt Reynolds.
You think so?
Sure.
I just think we don't tell people he's dead and we let Norm MacDonald do it.
I went down a rabbit hole the day that Burt Reynolds died of all the Celebrity Jeopardy SNL skits. And they were
classic.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to look those up because those are classic.
That's when Saturday Night Live was good.
Yeah.
I like the last 10 years. Yes. And in other news, Alex Trebek grew his beard back over the holiday.
Ooh. Is that news?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right, so what were you going to talk about before I talked about Burt Reynolds?
Oh, now it's my turn?
Yeah.
Now that you brought us all down?
Well, I need you to bring us back up now. See how that works?
Okay.
I make you the star of the show. Come on.
Oh, whatever. Liar.
Whatever.
Okay, so you and I are both prop guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was an incredibly famous prop that was stolen 13 years ago that the FBI just recovered. This prop was integral to one of the most popular movies of all time. It's on TV at least two or three times a year, usually around the holidays.
Okay. 13 years ago.
13 years ago.
Was it a movie that predates 13 years ago?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It predates it by like 50, 60 years?
60, oh.
70 years? 80 years?
Do I hear 100? Sold. All right, I have not heard this
when
story.
When you think about iconic movie props, what do you think of?
The sled from Citizen Kane.
Okay, good one.
What else do I think of? That's that
iconic.
Old?
Iconic.
I guess like. No, I guess that wouldn't be iconic.
What?
Like the hat from the Wicked Witch of the West.
You are getting so close now.
Am I?
Yes. You're getting so close.
Right movie?
Uh-huh.
Oh, the Ruby Slippers.
Yes.
So, they finally found those.
The Ruby Slippers.
They were stolen at like a museum.
Yes. Yeah, the Judy Garland Museum in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. Okay.
Right, okay. They did that on the that TV show that was
Expedition
on Sci-Fi.
Expedition Unknown. Yes. No. Oh yes. The with the prop guy.
Yes. The auction guy.
Yes. Profiles in history.
Yes, he was
Joe Maddalena.
Yes, he was bound and determined to find him.
Yes. Well, he didn't find them. The FBI found them. But he was on the latest episode of Expedition Unknown, which is on Discovery Channel.
Okay.
And they just happened to have filmed an episode about the missing slippers when the news broke that somebody had actually found them.
Really?
So they actually had to, like, you know, re-edit the show. And it was really cool because there was like somebody in prison who said that she had heard from these guys she used to do drugs with that they put them in a paint can and threw them into this lake, and they were out there, the local police were out there looking in this lake that they told them about, and then found out that it was the wrong lake. So it shows them, like, they're in the middle of winter, they cut through the ice, they go diving, and they find a paint can. And they're like, holy shit, we found them. And they get the paint can up to the surface, and Joe Maddalena is standing there with them. And he opens the paint can with a crowbar, and it was just full of rocks and water.
Oh,
but can you imagine your heart stopping thinking that, oh my god, this is it?
Wow.
So
so where did they find them?
They didn't say. They received some really bad Xeroxed photos claiming that this person still, that somebody had them and wanted ransom for them. And they were able to compare the photos to the pair that was stolen and said, yeah, this is them. Now we've got to find out how old this photo is.
What?
And then by the end of the episode, they showed the briefing by the FBI. And behind the woman from the FBI, there's a box covered with like a piece of velvet. And they did this big unveiling of the shoes.
Wow.
Here's the shitty part.
Okay.
They're now owned by the insurance company who paid out the policy on them.
Ooh.
Not the guy who loaned them to the museum.
Weren't they insured for like $1 million?
Yeah.
So the dude got $1 million for the stolen shoes.
Yes, but they're worth
probably
ten times
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Holy shit.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, it's so weird that you would wait 13 years to be like, hey, we have these, we have these, and we want to ransom them.
We got your ruby slippers, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why would you wait 13 years?
I don't know.
Till the trail went cold?
Yeah. Yep. And they think it was an inside job.
Someone at the museum?
Yes.
Okay.
Because there was a video camera focused on the case that was turned off.
Mm-hmm.
And right outside the room where the slippers were, there was an emergency door with an alarm on it.
Okay.
And the alarm was turned off.
Jesus.
So somebody went to that back door, broke the glass, ran in, grabbed the slippers, ran out.
Wow. That's fucked up.
Yep. Yep. Scary. So apparently they don't know how many pairs of ruby slippers there really were, because like most movie props and costume props, it's like there's a dozen or so.
Right.
Because you sweat on them, or your feet swell up, or you know it gets broken.
Right.
So they know that. So back in the 70s, MGM was going bankrupt, and they auctioned off all of their stuff.
Thank right.
God, to go back to that date and just, oh my God, I can't even imagine it. So they were sold at auction for $15,000.
Okay.
And that's the pair that's in the Smithsonian.
Right.
There is another pair that Leonardo DiCaprio bid on.
Right.
And for the new motion picture museum.
Right.
Yes.
And now there's this pair.
Now there's this pair. And there's another pair that used to be at some place we worked.
I was just about to ask you about that.
Yes.
There used to be a pair in the queue line of a ride.
Correct.
Were those real?
Those were real.
Okay.
They were put on a... an open-ended loan by the owner.
Okay.
But he ended up putting those up for auction.
Oh, okay.
And I actually found the person who now owns them.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So that's at least four pairs that are
That's known. At least four pairs. Yep. So the guy who had them at that theme park, okay, so here's how fucked up this is. So that particular pair of shoes,
right,
were given to this teenage girl as part of a contest.
Okay.
That was the prize she won, was a pair of these shoes. And this particular pair, they thought were worn by her stand-in and not really Judy Garland.
Okay.
So, this guy bought them, this woman owned them for 48 years. So she got them back in like 1940, right after they had like come out. The guy who bought them paid $150,000 for them. And they were actually at this theme park until May 2000 when he sold them for $600,000.
Jesus.
Now, they're currently owned, and I like randomly found this person.
Okay.
There's a really old con called the Hollywood Collector Show, and they drag out anybody who was ever in a movie or TV. I mean, Cindy Williams, Lenny and Squiggy, Fonzie, Potsy, all these people. And I happened to notice the name of one of the people.
Okay.
So I sent him an email last night.
Okay.
And he responded.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I told him that I had worked at this place and I saw them many times at work, walked by them, uh-huh. and I was wondering if he and his partners still had them. And he says, "We still have them. One day we will do something with them." Like, okay, that's kind of cool. Now I know where they are.
Right. Wow.
But it's amazing. Now, there was also a pair of ruby slippers that Debbie Reynolds owned.
Right.
But they were not the ruby slippers.
Okay.
Because back in the day, when they were making the film, they tried a bunch of different looks. And the pair she has kind of look like genie shoes. So they're called the Arabian ones.
Oh, they've got like the little, like, pointy toes, right?
Like the little pointy toe, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Okay.
So, yeah, I just think that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, people don't
realize.
I mean,
imagine Lucasfilm going out of business and opening up the warehouse.
Well, and you know, it's funny because
for a fire sale.
Because,
you know,
it's amazing how many actual pieces of Star Wars memorabilia wind up for auction.
Uh-huh.
At this year's San Diego Comic-Con, Prop Store of London had a bunch of like original lightsabers and
yes,
helmets and other props. And you know, we know somebody who worked for Lucasfilm whose job it was to take this shit around and set it up for exhibits and that kind of stuff, like the real actual props. So it always amazes me that whenever this stuff gets out, because Lucas had his hands so tight on this stuff. And I remember seeing videos of like people going to visit the archives and you'd have to sign in and they'd take you down these rows of aisles and everything was there.
Yep.
Anything that you wanted to touch, you wanted to see Boba Fett's helmet from Empire Strikes Back. Oh, that's over there. If you wanted to see, like Willow's wand, it was over in another section. But like he held on to everything. So I'm watching these videos of Prop Store London and they're like, oh yeah. They gave, like Liam Neeson his lightsaber and he doesn't want it anymore. So he's going to like, auction it off. And it amazes me that there's not some kind of weird thing with Lucasfilm where they're like, look, if you're going to get rid of this, we want first dibs at it.
Right.
To bring it back home. But like they had everything from like original Indiana Jones hats that they could screen identify as like, oh, this is when he's in the truck having the fight with the guy.
So just imagine when cloning becomes acceptable. You know, you pull the DNA out of Harrison Ford's sweat.
Yeah.
And you make, you know, you clone a young Harrison Ford and you start doing, you know, Star Wars episode 4A, 5A, and 6A. And then, you know, you clone another one and you do, you know, a Blade Runner that takes place in between.
Right. Yeah, it was very weird. Like, one of the things that they had was they had like an entire set of lightsabers from episode one. And when the guy was like, well, how do you get this stuff? Like, where does this come from? It was the guy who did all of the sword fighting stuff. Nick. Oh God. What's his name? Nick Gillard, I think, did all the sword.
Sounds
fights.
Right. Yeah.
He just decided that he was going through all his stuff and he didn't want it anymore. So he was going to auction it off so that people could have it. And it's like, wow, that's like, imagine being able to, bid on a piece of history like that. Like, yeah, it's episode one, but still.
Right. Well, and then celebrities are also famous for stealing their props. Allegedly Daniel Radcliffe has two pairs of Harry Potter glasses. Mark Wahlberg stole his penis from Boogie Nights. Chris, Chris Pratt's got a full Star-Lord costume, but he wears that when he visits kids in the hospital.
Yes.
See, I would visit kids in the hospital, too, if I had a free Star-Lord costume. Andrew Garfield stole his Spider-Man costume.
Well, and then there's...
James Caan has the typewriter from Misery.
Oh, does he? So I'm looking at the Propster of London book for their upcoming stuff. They have a bunch of Back to the Future stuff that's like original.
Yeah.
There's a full-size practical replica of the DeLorean. That okay. If you want to bid on, it's only $40,000. They got stuff from Batman Returns. You want a full Batman Forever statue? It's only $250.
Wow.
An original Cylon filming miniature. Cylon Raider, $3,000. Where's all the Star Wars stuff? Battlestar Galactica. Blade. Because everybody wants a crappy Wesley Snipes prop.
Yeah.
There's 25 pages, so let's see if I can go by category. Star Wars. Come on. Star Wars A New Hope. So they have signed pictures and cans, and they have a production binder with reports and storyboards for $500. They have pieces of the Death Star surface. Stormtrooper blasters, an original Stormtrooper helmet. Let's see. Star Wars Empire Strikes Back. Bespin costume. They have the original Han Solo jacket. This was one of those ones that I was like, how the fuck did they get that? Because you would think that that would be in a vault somewhere.
But nobody cared.
I guess.
You had to pay to store this stuff, and nobody saw the value in it.
But Lucas did. So, Lucas kept most of that shit.
Sure. Lucas was visionary in what he's done.
Right.
You know, the fact that he gave up points on his movie to get points on action figures.
Right.
And everybody thought he was an idiot. It's like, my God.
I mean, it's amazing that some of this stuff is out there for people to bid on.
Yeah.
Like full Ewok masks and a production face casting of Jabba the Hutt. A pair of authentic Empire Strikes Back Return of the Jedi C-3PO hands that I guess somebody just stole, and you know, now you can buy it. But if you're looking for a an early birthday present or a Christmas present for me,
mm-hmm.
They're selling the hero prop of Mal's pistol from Serenity.
Oh, yeah.
It's only $3,000.
You'd like that?
Yeah.
All right. If I hit the lotto, I'll get it for you. And I don't mean a free ticket.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, they've got Ghostbuster stuff and... bunch of Star Trek stuff, Star Wars, The Abyss, Armageddon, American Graffiti, Back to the Future, like all kinds of shit.
Mm-hmm.
You want Ben Affleck's spacesuit from Armageddon?
Yeah, how much?
$7,500.
Yeah. Probably all stretched out.
He wasn't fat back then.
Oh.
There's a complete Judge Dredd costume from the Dredd movie. $5,000. Does it come with the gun, though? No. What the fuck? Oh, it's a stunt costume.
See?
Fuck the stunt costume. Wow. Well, that's very cool that they found those shoes finally.
Isn't it? I think that's amazing.
I mean, just the fact that they're still intact.
Yes.
After all this time.
Well, and the ones the Smithsonian owns had to be taken off display because they were starting to deteriorate so much.
Well, yeah, I mean, no movie prop is made to last that long.
Right.
Usually it's just held together long enough to get through filming.
Exactly. Yep.
I do kind of want to see the footage of the guy from the auction place opening the can with nothing in it.
I'm sure it's on discovery.com.
Activate? I'm not activating nothing. Come on, Discovery. What was the show called?
Expedition Unknown.
Oh, okay. Oh, is this going to play the whole fucking episode?
Well, scan towards the end.
Okay, so it's at the end?
It's towards the very end, yes. Now, I will tell you that there was another place I worked that you did not work that had the set dressers went to those MGM auctions back in the 70s and bought a ton of shit.
Really?
Yes. There was a samurai suit that was from Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh.
And then a lot of stuff that was just random set dressing stuff.
And that wasn't where we worked?
No, this was an island all to itself.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
See?
I'm picking up.
We speak
up
a language.
Down.
Wow.
I get
my
it.
Man. My man.
I have to sit through 5 ads, so hang on.
Well, if you have several hours to kill, go to the Profiles in History website and just look at the auction archives.
Yeah.
Because back in June, they auctioned off an egg sack and spiders from the movie Arachnophobia. And they expected to get a $1,500 for that. Now, I will also tell you this. So that place we worked, way back when it opened, had a movie prop store that sold like signed scripts and autographs and other props. And you could have bought a bag of plastic spiders that were actually used in the movie Arachnophobia for like $10.
Was that right there at the front?
Yes.
On the left?
Yes. Okay. On the left as you came in.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
All right. See,
you could buy Eric Idle's nun costume from Nuns on the Run for $1,200. if that's out of your range, you can get David Caruso's detective badge from King of New York for $400.
All right, I'm towards the very end here.
So do you just define the part where they're like in the lake?
They're talking to some old guy. Oh, wait,
some
okay.
Old guy.
Nope.
Did you go too far?
Yeah. Okay, I found
the old guy have a... Okay. So scan through that. You kids at home, play along.
Yeah. Okay, they're still at the lake, and there's a bunch of like overhead shots from a another going to the Sawmill Inn where they're drinking beer.
That was after it.
That was after?
Yep, so go backwards a little bit.
Oh, now I gotta sit through five fucking ads again. Fuck you, Discovery. Alright, I'll find this on my own.
Oh, I could have gotten Dustin Hoffman's Captain Hook wig, shoes, and a newspaper for $300.
I mean, it was always funny watching that show. It wasn't Profiles in History.
It was that guy's company. Yeah.
And they always tried to overvalue
it. Wasn't
everything.
It like Hollywood Collector or something?
Something like that. It was Hollywood Treasure?
Yes.
And it would always be like, here's a costume that was worn in Lost. This is going to go for like $1,000, and it's like $250. And
right.
It's like nobody's going to pay $1,000 for something an extra wore.
Well, but if you remember that episode, the costume belonged to an extra who was working for Joe Maddalena.
Yes.
And actually put something else up for auction so he could buy his costume back.
Well, I'm sure if you're the one to wear it, but I mean, if I'm looking for, as a prop collector, something from the show Lost, you're looking for something more iconic than an extra's costume.
Sure, but maybe you can't afford something more iconic.
Then fucking...
So maybe at least this is something from there.
Here's the shoes of the third guy on the seat next to Matthew Fox.
Well, you can identify that, can't you?
Well, they always claim they could.
There's probably movie stills about it.
There was always all those people that were like huddled around computers going, well, you see this line right here matches this production still.
Right.
I'm sure it's good work if you can get it, but... I don't know. So if there was a prop, if you could have any prop... from any film, money was no object. Uh-huh. Everything in Hollywood was up for auction.
Uh-huh.
For all time, what would you want to buy?
Oh my God! For all time, sky's the limit.
Yes.
Shit. That's tough because you know I want everything. Wow. I have no idea.
No?
I couldn't narrow it down. I would want the inside of the genie bottle set from I Dream of Genie.
Okay.
That would be my living room.
All of a sudden you'd be Kramer from Seinfeld? Did you ever see that episode where he finds a Merv Griffin set?
Oh, yes.
And he sets it up in his house and he has people over. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, they're opening the can. Oh, I found
it. There you
go. I found it.
There it is.
Oh, it's so dramatic.
Isn't it?
The way that it's shot and they're not showing you the inside of the can.
Yep.
And they're doing it in slow motion. Oh, that shot of him being really disappointed, it was worth it, though.
Yes. Oh, here's a bargain.
Okay.
A collection of props from the Drew Carey Show. It's a set of 6 Village People-themed troll dolls, a set of the same troll dolls burned and melted, a Mimi doll, a Milton Berle signed image licensing agreement, a stuffed Dilbert doll, a 6-pack of Buzz beer bottles, and 4 3-ounce cans of hairspray, and a laminated Warsaw Tavern menu for $300.
Wow. I mean, that's the kind of shit you throw
away.
I would
consider that.
Would you really?
I would consider that. Yes. I actually own a screen-used prop.
Of?
From Batman Returns. I have a Cobblepot for Mayor button.
Do you really?
Yes.
Where'd you get that?
Back in the day, there were people who sold this shit.
So can you place it to the exact extra that was wearing it?
No, because there are multiples of these.
Oh.
But, yeah. Oh, you could have been on Dorothy from Twister for $5,000.
There you go. Because that's what you want in your house.
Yes. No, I want the cow.
I think it was digital.
No, there was one in the queue line at another theme park.
Oh.
From the dairy. It wasn't that cow.
Oh, okay.
There's another
cow. Another cow.
I think it's the same cow.
good times.
Amazing, right?
Yep.
The stuff people will spend good money on.
So do you have your I don't think you have your Batman button displayed though.
I don't.
No.
In fact, I keep reminding myself that I need to dig it out. I know where it is.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't yet. I need to find a way to display these small things.
You're a crafty guy. You can figure that out.
Well, I know. I just haven't gotten that far yet.
All right. You got anything else for this week?
Nah, I think that's it.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You could say, hope your house doesn't blow away or something
yeah.
like that.
Yes.
You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
It's a twister. It's a twister. That's all I got.
Okay.